in chapter 3 of Romans, as we're journeying through this amazing book, you endured the first 3 chapters in the very difficult portion that gives us a lot of bad news. It tells us honestly how we stand before God. But it is very important for us that we listen to what God says as he diagnoses us. Listen, you don't want to go to the doctor and have a situation that can be fixed and yet it's bad, and him just to say, oh, everything's fine, don't worry about it. God is giving us a truthful diagnosis of where we stand, not so that we would just drop our shoulders and go, I feel condemned, I feel bad, and get depressed. What God is saying is, you're going the wrong way. Don't go that way. I love you so much, I want to tell you to go this way. I want you to go to the way that leads to life, the way that gives true joy, true happiness, and a peace that passes all understanding. That's a relationship with God. But most people are going the wrong way. So in the first 3 chapters, the Lord has spoken, and he's spoken harshly against those who are trying to be in a right standing with God through their good works, through their good behavior, and through their religious efforts. Make sure you understand what we're saying. Religion, in the sense of obeying God, is good. It just doesn't save you. We can't be saved by our good works, our religious effort. And doing good things. I love our foyer that's filled with people serving groceries and food to those in need. It gives evidence that you've been saved, perhaps. But it doesn't save you. God wants us to do good things and be good people and do those things that he calls us to do in the scriptures. But we recognize that those things don't save us. You can get baptized every day, go to church every week. You can do good works, you can give lots of money, you can do good causes. That doesn't contribute to your salvation. Now, what we're reading in chapter 3 is so important because 95% of the world's population is missing this. And if you'll tune in, even today, you'll get the most important thing right. You see, in the beginning of chapter 3, God speaks to us about the righteousness which he requires to be in a right standing with God. And guess what he says about each one of us? Every human being who's ever lived, he says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. You go, oh, can't believe that. Get over it, it's true. There's no one righteous, no, not one, none that hits the holy mark, the standard of God. He tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the mark, fall short of the glory of God. No one righteous, no, not one. He tells us that we're all guilty as lawbreakers, as sinners before a holy God. Well, mankind is so cute, so clever, we got it all figured out. I'll just do more good works. I'll be better than that guy. God and I are going to work out some backdoor deal. There is no backdoor deal. And yet mankind, if you ask a person, hey, if you were to die today, and God, there you were standing before God, and he asked you, why should I let you into heaven? You know what most people answer? They say, well, I've been a pretty good person. They didn't read the Bible, did they? There's no one righteous, no, not one. Well, I've done some good works. I've done all these good things. The best of our righteousness is filthy rags. That's the best of our righteousness. As Adrian Rogers once said, and he was a great man of God, he said, I would not trust the best 5 minutes of my life to get me into heaven. I'm not going to trust myself. Not going to trust in my human efforts, my religious efforts. And yet you see the world going that way. I'm a good person. I've done good things. Hey, I'm a member of this church. I'm Baptist. I'm Catholic. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Methodist. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, but that's not what it says in God's word. God's being very clear with us. People are going that way. And listen, the Bible says in the Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death. They're going that way and Satan is laughing. They're going to fall off a cliff. They're going to spend eternity separated from God. And meanwhile, God is shouting to us through his word. And he's saying to us, there is a way apart from the law and apart from human effort. It's not by your righteousness that falls short. And so we see then, as we started talking about last week, then what was the purpose of the law? Well, the purpose of the law was great. It showed us God's holy standard, shows us that we've missed the mark, that there's a penalty. Wages of sin is death. But it says that righteousness, the righteousness of God, is obtained freely apart from the law. There's a different way. So God is saying, hey, you're going the wrong way. I love you so much. I've made a way, and it's not by human effort. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Don't miss this. We are saved, justified, brought into a right standing with God only through the cross of Jesus Christ, believing and placing our faith in Jesus Christ alone. And God makes this promise. And if God makes a promise, I want you to know today you can believe God. I want you to know today that you can trust God, that God would never lie to you. If God makes a promise, you claim it. So when God says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. I believe God. I don't believe me. I believe God. I don't believe the opinions of men. I believe God. God says if you'll receive Christ, trust him alone, 100% for your righteousness. And I have done that. Have you? Have you received Christ as your Savior? I get to stand before God someday soon. Listen, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that every single human being throughout the history of humanity is going to live once, die once, and stand before God at judgment. I want you to be ready. And listen, there's no reason anyone in this room should perish. You stand before God, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my answer is. God, I don't deserve it. I deserve death, hell, and judgment. I'm a sinner. But God, you said and you promised that by your grace you gave your son Jesus Christ, that if I would receive him by faith, you would give me your righteousness. You would save me and cleanse me from all of your sin. God, you said and you made a promise, and I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. God's going to look and say, I was just joking. Hey, no way. God's going to say, I was lying. No way. God can't lie. God's going to say, that's exactly what I said. And you can trust God to keep his word. God is always faithful to his word. This is what he's talking about in Romans 3. The best of our righteousness, no good. There's no one righteous, no, not one. We're all guilty sinners. You can't keep the law, but there's a different way, and we can be innocent before God, righteous before God, through faith in Christ, 100% God and his grace, 0% your human effort. Do you understand that? Don't trust in yourself. As Paul would say, I put no confidence in the flesh, but I 100% believe God is able, just as he said in Hebrews chapter 7. God is able to save completely all who come to him through faith. And it begs the question, have you placed your faith in Christ alone? And if so, God's done the work. You just are the recipient of that great, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but thanks to God, now I see. Are you tracking with me on this great news? Amen? If you're not tracking, this is the most important thing you'll ever hear. If I told the world today, I'm announcing the numbers of the next Powerball, this place would be packed. I've got a word from God. I know what the next Powerball numbers are. It's right here in Romans chapter 3. The greatest treasure ever. God's making it available through faith. So Paul, after having laid this out for us in Romans chapter 3, he's going to tie a bow on it in these five verses we have in front of us here. And he asked the question, well, so if God's done all this and he offers it to us as a gift, then where is boasting? Do you see that in verse 27? Where then is human boasting? As if you deserve a pat on the back. Woo, you made it into heaven. Look what you did. Woo. No, you didn't do a thing. To brag about this would be like bragging about being born. Ha ha, look at me. I did all this to be born. You didn't do anything. You just got born. You didn't even choose the family you were born into. That just was predetermined by God. You can't boast, hey, I was born in America. But you like how I planned that? You didn't do anything about that. You didn't plan the family. You were just born, right? In the same way, God has caused you to be born again. God gets the credit. God gets the glory. Can you imagine if you were in your house and your house caught on fire, the house is about to burn to the ground, smoke's everywhere, you go unconscious, you're about to die, a fireman goes into the house. It's about to burn up. You're laying there unconscious. He grabs you, throws you over his shoulder. He walks you down the stairs and out the house. He saves your life. Man, you come to coughing. He's gotten you out in the field and you're safe. He saved your life. Next day, you're standing around the water cooler at work. You're talking to your buddies and you're bragging about what he did for you. You're not sitting there saying, oh man, I went through the smoke and the flames and I saved myself. No, you were dead. Nothing you could do, unconscious. You're going to brag about what he's done for you. He saved you. In the same way, Jesus spiritually, he comes in and saves us because we could not save ourselves. And therefore, listen, faith accomplishes for us what the law could not. Now, in this room, over 1,000 folks, and everyone has a key that'll get into their house. If I collected all the keys in this room right now, if I collected all the keys and I took every one of them to my house and tried to open the door, it's not going to open. But if I take the keys that I have, put that key in, it's going to open up. You know, in some ways that speaks to all the human effort trying to get in their way. And God says the only key that'll open the door of heaven for you, the only thing that works is the key that God provides, faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is the only way that a sinful man can become righteous and brought into a right standing before God. This is very judicial terminology. It is saying that you've been justified like a judge would justify or declare the guilty party innocent. You would be innocent before God on the basis of faith in Christ alone. So where is the boasting? He says it's excluded. No boasting, no patting yourself on the back. Look what I did. Yeah, look what you did. Look at all the great things I've done. Yep. Filthy rags before a holy God. God is only satisfied by the righteousness of his Son who died in your place to pay the penalty for your sin. That's the only thing that the Father is satisfied in. Tell me if you understand. Amen. You understand what this is saying here? And so there's no boasting then before God. It is excluded. He says, by what law? The law of works? Not the law of works. That key won't work. But by the law of faith. God has given us a way, faith, that law of faith, faith opens the door. So there's no boasting. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read something that supports that. He says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved," brought into a right standing with God. "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith," the key that opens the door. "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast." Nobody's going to stand before God and say, "God, look what I've done." And isn't it exciting when you see that aha moment where people get that and it connects and you go, "Man, I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in Christ alone, and I trust completely, receive completely Christ." And he becomes the priority of your life. And the boasting is not in ourselves. Our boasting is in God. Isn't that awesome when you see young people boasting in God, talking about how God is the most important thing, how God is the God who saves? Now, listen, you guys know I love sports. I love watching a football game, or I like watching a good game. And I'm not a hater. Like, I'm not hating this team or hating that team. Look, my team is the Maryland Terrapins. The Turtles never win. You know what I'm saying? And so, go Terps, right? You know, God doesn't hear all my prayers because Turtles don't win. But I love watching it, but more importantly than loving the team, I love the people that you get to know and to see what they learn as they work together. How much more should we, as people who've walked with the Lord for a while, boast in God, brag about God, what he has done? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, let me read that passage. God says, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the athlete boast in his athleticism, nor let the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and that he knows me." Boast in the fact that you know God, that you're living for God, making a difference for God. Boast in those things, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For I delight in these things, saith the Lord. Now, Paul takes this and he says, no boasting. And then he says, therefore, look in our passage, verse 23. Therefore is an important word. Every time you see therefore, you ask the question, what's the therefore? Therefore. And he's coming to a conclusion that's important for us. We conclude, tie a bow, bring it to a summary, a conclusion here. We conclude that a man, that is also a woman, any human being, that a person is made righteous before God, made innocent, is justified by faith alone. No other way. It is apart from the deeds of the law. Final statement. Have you been justified by faith in Christ? The most important thing in your life that you'll ever resolve, the most important message that you'll ever tell others, justification by faith alone through Christ alone. Paul would speak about this to the legalists who are trying to keep the law, returning to the law. In Galatians chapter 2, this is what Paul says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, by human effort, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by human effort, by the works of the law, no flesh will ever be justified." Such a definitive and clear statement. Listen, do your very best right now to make sure you're tuned in. Do your very best to understand. because this is the core of who we are. This is the core of Christianity. This is the center of what we believe, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life through faith in Christ alone. And so God is now taking this message. It's to the nations. He tells us in Isaiah chapter 45, turn to me, all ye nations, and be saved. It's not just to the Jewish people. Notice what he says here in verse 29. He says, or is God the God of the Jews only? Well, yeah, he did call a special small group of people, the Israelites, unto himself and made them special promises. And they were supposed to be a lighthouse to the nations, and they failed, and God knew that. But God is not only a God of the Jews. God is the one true and living God of all the nations. And make sure you understand that's what he says. Is God a God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? That is anyone who's not Jewish. You're either Jew or Gentile. And he asked this question, isn't God a God of the Gentiles as well? How many of you are Gentiles? Raise your hand. Probably 98% of you, right? Praise God for all of our Jewish family members here and our messianic ministry, which is phenomenal. But most of you are not Jewish, you're Gentiles. But either way, I've got good news for you. He says, yes, of the Gentiles also. God is the God of the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, journey back with me some 2,000 years ago, Israel, especially there in Jerusalem, the church is being birthed, the church is coming to life. Pentecost, God burst the church, and there's primarily Jewish believers, but all of a sudden Gentiles are coming too. Wait a second, the Jews said, we can't have these Gentiles messing up our church, right? It sounds like a lot of churches today, right? A lot of people say this church is just for us, these type of people, and we can't have other people messing it up. Hey, God is inviting everybody. One thing I love about Richland Creek, the gospel invites everybody. The gospel's for everybody. You come here, you're going to get loved on. Doesn't matter how rich, how poor, the color of your skin, nationality, background, whatever. You're invited here. We want you here. The gospel is for you, Jews and Gentiles. Come. No matter what your situation in life. We've been praying for you. Jesus died for you. We're ready for you to be here. You keep coming. But now they're having this discussion, and the apostles are involved in it. Even the apostle Peter, there in Jerusalem, the church is trying to figure out, wait, who are we? What's our identity? And they call a council. This is called the Jerusalem Council. It's discussed in Acts chapter 15. And let me just read a portion of that. It says, now the apostles and the elders, they came together to consider this matter of, so do these Gentiles have to become Jews? Do they have to have circumcision and keep the law and do all of these ceremonial rituals and observances of the law? That's what they're talking about. Can the Gentiles be saved? And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and he said to them, men, brethren, listen, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel of Jesus, and believe. So God, who knows the heart, he acknowledged the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit. They're being saved also, just as he did to us, Jewish people. And God made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts also by faith. The key that opens the door, for the Jews is also the key that opens the door for the Gentiles. So why do you therefore test God by putting a yoke on the neck of these Gentiles, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? We couldn't keep the law. And now you want to hang that yoke on their necks? But listen, Peter said, we believe that through the grace of God, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, justified, in the same manner as they. Jews and Gentiles have access to the righteousness of God through faith. Jews and Gentiles equally have access to salvation through faith in Christ alone. Now, Paul ties this in, and he says in verse 30, Romans chapter 3, verse 30, and he says, since, because there is one God, there's not a bunch of different gods in the world, though I know the teachings of men are different. They believe in 33 million gods in India. You can't keep track of all of them. Others have polytheistic views like the Mormons. There are many gods. But there is one true and living God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's one God. And he will justify the circumcised, that is the Jews, by faith. And in the same way, the uncircumcised, that is the Gentiles, through faith as well. Now listen, these truths, we're just going, yeah, sure, that sounds great. But these are things that are being disputed and argued about all over the world today. And God is just saying, the answer's right here. God's telling us, Jews and Gentiles, the world's population, all has a sin problem. All is going to perish unless they turn to Christ by receiving him by the key that opens faith, faith in Christ alone. We are then brought into a right standing with God. But wait, what about the law? What about the law? What happened to the law? Is that, and Paul anticipates this. So look at verse 31. He says, do we then make void the law? Is the law of no account? Is it useless? Did it not have any value? Do we make void the law, that key, different through faith? He says, certainly not. On the contrary, actually, we establish, we validate the law. The law had a huge purpose in pointing us to faith. In fact, let me just say a few things to demonstrate what he means. By the time we get to Romans chapter 7, verse 12, Paul's going to say that the law, God's righteous standard, is holy. It is righteous. It is just. The law is good. The law shows the character of God, God's righteous standard reflected in his character. The law sets forth God's righteous standard. Here's the standard set by the law. It shows us that we're missing the mark. The law reveals our sin, Romans 3:20. The law now pronounces our guilt, that we are sinful. It shows that. And it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The law requires righteousness. The law, once it's violated, demands a penalty or a payment. But the law can't cough up that payment, can it? The law demands a penalty for violating the law. And you look to the law and says, well, can you solve the problem? The law says, I can't solve the problem. But it points us to the solution to mankind's problem, which is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith provides the remedy to the problem. The law shows us that what the law requires, that it requires complete righteousness. But we get all of our righteousness not by human effort, but by faith. The law, it tells us in Galatians 3:24, is a tutor. It's a taskmaster. It's one that takes the child by the hand. The law takes the child by the hand and it leads it to Christ. The law is our tutor that crushes us, shows us our lack of righteousness or ability in any way to save ourselves. And when we are crushed, it takes us and points us to Christ. So the law serves its purpose. And it is established and validated by the revealing of sin, by the pointing us to salvation in Christ alone. Now listen, the law can't save us, but it points everyone to the redemptive, propitiating, sacrificial, substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. That's what you got to get. That's what Romans 3 has been talking about. It can't save us, but it's pointing us to the substitute who stands in. We deserve death. Four of the most important words you'll ever hear in your life. Jesus died for me. The law demands death when we break it. Death penalty. And Jesus, as the substitute, comes in and he dies for you in your place. So the law is upheld. It is validated by his propitiating. That is, his death satisfied God's wrath against our sin, the penalty that we deserve. So God is satisfied through Christ. Now listen, this is the greatest treasure that you have. This is greater than anything in the world, what God has done for you. We get to celebrate that we've been liberated, we've been set free, we've been clothed in his righteousness by faith. We have been cleansed. We have been forgiven. We have been declared innocent. We have been brought into a right standing before God by what Christ has done. Praise the Lord. I tell you this, for those of you who understand and receive and have trusted Christ, if you've received Christ, you are the most blessed of people who live. And when God comes again and brings a new heavens and a new earth, you will rejoice even as you do now that you have lived for and invested your life into things that truly matter. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good news message, the reminder of what's important, the reminder of who we are in Christ, and even the reminder that steps on our toes. When we were lost and you told us we were going the wrong way, that there was only salvation in Christ, and Lord, our hearts break because we look around in the world that we live in, and the world we live in chases after the things of the world that are temporary, and they place those things as a priority, and they trust in those things. But you've said in your word, while they trust in the things of this world, we will trust in the Lord our God. And I thank you for this sweet message. It's not hard to understand that we've been justified and saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. Sow these words into our hearts and let us tell others the good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.